Okay, it's 6 o'clock. We're going to start the Mishnah again on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Such a Mishnah is Teres HaShvat HaMeirim HaSidim V'Achzor. Many multiple Pshatim are said in this. Gemara brings the Brides about Teres HaShvat HaMeirim L'Mechelik V'Elam Abba. Mishnah says the words Ein HaSidim V'Achzor. So what that means seems to be a big machlokes, what it means. Some say, literally, Rashi, that according to one shita, the Aseret HaShvatim ain't coming back. Either Psukim talk about there being 12 Shvatim. So the Radvaz says, according to this opinion, one has to say that some of the Aseret HaShvatim were brought back in the time of Yirmiyah. The Gemara says in Megillah, Yirmiyah went and brought some of them back. Those who came back will be there. Those who didn't come back will never come back again. Other Pshat Rashi says, is Ein HaSidim V'Achzor is a way of saying they won't have Olam Haba. It's referring to that very generation, not referring to their descendants. According to that, they won't come back. Ein HaSidim V'Achzor just means they won't go to Olam Haba. Why is the word L'Achzor used? Some say because the Pasuk is comparing them to the day that goes and doesn't come back, so we use the word L'Achzor. The Maral learns that they will never come back to their original status. That is, even when they come back, they'll always be on a lesser, quote-unquote, madrega than they were beforehand. That's how the Maral learns Ein HaSidim V'Achzor. Again, so there's multiple pshatim. The Ran seems to say that Olam Haba and coming back are dependent on each other. One learns they're not coming back, that means there's no Olam Haba. One learns they are coming back, there is Olam Haba. That's how the Ran learns. That seems to be, I mean, I don't pick sides and be showing them, but the Gemara definitely seems to equate the two. So according to Rashi's first chat, that it's really talking about going back, the Brides and the Mishnah are saying two different things. According to Rashi's second chat, they're saying the exact same thing. According to the Ran, they're two sides of the same coin. They're not coming back, means they're not at those that are thrown away, don't have a chelik
l'olam haba.
Now,
when we read a statement, there's a shvatim, that's a general statement.
It means those that were exiled by Sancheriv, who were not brought back by Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah did bring back some of them. And those obviously are not in exile. We're talking about the ones that were exiled and are still never come back yet.
Every word's important. So when a Mishnah says, these words, every person is
no, again, I repeat it again. That's what it seems to say.
That's very hard to believe.
Ein HaSidim V'Achzor Shalem Kayem Hazeh Ma'ayim Ha'ilach V'Nachayzim. The day goes and doesn't come back. Apen Hochem V'Nachayzim. They go and they won't come back. The dark times, there are light times. So it will be light up for them. Rashi. It comes up to all these areas. And I see the logs in the Malkum Shigolah from where they did came to Gabbat the Golas. But the Marina, the Gemara, the Yirmi Yachzir, run out of Gemara Megillah says Yirmi brought them back. He only brought back some of them. That's what Rashi says. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them. They were steeped in Avodah Zarah. He will send them to Golos. In the morning it's dark, but Sarai Meir in the noon it's like, in the evening it gets darker. So the second shot's not learning it's dark, but it's getting darker. And in the morning it gets light. It's Shaila had to be Gairis here. Most people put it back in. Rashad says you should put it back in. Ein HaSidim V'Achzor will not come back. Period. Now, Avataris HaShvatim, period. Now here, some learn that the next is a new pshat in Rashi. Because Rashi all of a sudden switches focus from talking about coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And he starts, Ein HaSidim V'Achzor, Aliyah from Chelek L'Olam Haba. So either Rashi is agreeing to the Ran, that Olam Haba refers to the world of Eretz Yisrael, and that means coming back and Olam Haba are one and the same. Or there's two different pshatim in Rashi, with the first one saying that they're not coming back, and the second one, Ein HaSidim V'Achzor, means that they're not getting Olam Haba. Because watch Rashi in the second one. We're not talking about descendants. That generation that went into exile, now Rashi did not say here that he's switching into a new pshat, unless that was included in the Inami. But it seems that Rashi, the first pshat, says Yirmiyah brought some of them back, the rest of them are not coming back. Mashma, they're never coming back, even their descendants. That's how I would have understood it. Then Rashi says, that means, what it means, in Asidun Logs, it means they're not going to get Ilam Haba, and that's only on the generation that went to Gullahs, but their kids will get Ilam Haba. So it seems that Rashi is learning it one of two ways. And that if you learn it going on Ilam Haba, it's only on that very generation, but their children and their descendants will have Ilam Haba. You learn the first way that if they're not coming back to Eretz Yisrael, it seems that they will be lost, so to speak, to Klal Yisrael, like Rachman and Lusman, many throughout the ages have been lost to Klal Yisrael. Of course, Dr. Schwab will remind us that the Mekubalim says no one is ever lost, but whatever it means in our practical terms, physical terms here, is that they will be lost to Klal Yisrael, and that seems to be going on their future generations as well. So again, it's a very difficult thing to figure out what Rashi is doing here. He seems to be switching midstream. So either he's equating the two, and then it would be saying, you know, one thing, or he's saying two different pshatim. Vayashlichem to Rashi, how do we know that the pasuk of Vayashlichem is going on the Aseres HaShvatim? So Rashi says an interesting point. How do I know, you know, there were two exiles, the Aseres HaShvatim and the two Shvatim. How do I know that the pasuk that says he's throwing them away, which Rabbi Akiva learns is a permanent throwaway, how do we know that's going on the Aseres HaShvatim, not on the two Shvatim? Rashi mashmishi akulam gailim b'makim echad, el eres acheres. They're being thrown to one land. Vayinu Aseres HaShvatim, shehiglim samchere v'yishivim b'makim echad. To the Minan, like the Gemara says, shalichim b'mdinas afriki. Even in Bayis Rishon, Yidden were sent all over. Germany had Jews from after the Bayis Rishon. There was a scattering of Jews around the four, not the four corners of the globe, but definitely Europe, Africa, Asia, after Bayis Rishon. The main thrust of the Golos was Bavo, but there were definitely satellite communities all over the place. And therefore, that's not Eretz Acheres. Eretz Acheres means to one land. That was Sancherev who took them all to one area. Whereas the Nebuchadnezzar, the Jews went to many areas. Some went to Egypt, some went to Europe, some went to, most of them went to Babel, but still it was a scattered Golos, and therefore the Pasuk of the Ashlichem of Eretz Sancherev is not going on them. I will call them, and I will gather them. Aseres HaShvatim Ein Lam Chelik Leilam Abba. Now, is this a does this mean, what does this mean? So Rashi over here again bothered by the fact that the Mishnah said Ein Nasidim Lamzar, and here it says Ein Lam Chelik Leilam Abba. So Rashi says Ista Mefarshi Aseres HaShvatim Ein Lam Chelik Leilam Abba Hanu Lemais HaMashiach. It's a way of saying they're not coming back in Mashiach's days. So Yikabu Mashiach Mshar Golias, he will not accept them. The Pesha Sipru Begnus Eretz Yisrael, because the Aseres HaShvatim spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael, so they ain't coming back. Now that's Mashmah going on that generation. That generation that spoke badly about Eretz Yisrael, they will not come back. So again, here Rashi seems to be saying that Ein Lam Chelik Olam Abba here does not mean Olam Abba, but Ein Lam Chelik Olam Abba means they're not coming back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what some learn. Others learn it means Olam Haba. Again, Rashi seems to be pointing out that generation, not necessarily their children. We had it earlier when they came to Sais, they said this is as good as Eretz Yisrael, this is better than Eretz Yisrael. But that was the same reason that the Meraglim were punished for speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, Ma'ichim Hashem Ma'admosim Hashem threw them off their land, Ba'afu Bechema Bekatsiv Gadol, with anger, great anger. Ayitchem Hashem Alad Masim Ba'ilam Azeh, Vayashlichem, El Eretz Acheres Ba'ilam Abba. Divir Rebbe Kiva. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Ish Kvar Akko Aymer, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda from Kvar Akko said, Reb Shimon, Im Aseim Kayayim Azeh Einim Chayshim. If they behave like they did at that point, they ain't coming back. Lav, however, if they do tshuva, if they improve, then Chayshim, they will be able to come back. Rashi Rav Shimon Levi Ma Kayem Azeh Loi Melach Imasem Kayem Azeh Loi Heim Chenuk Oilum Abba In Lav She Yachzu B'tshuva Yachzu Gam Heim Migalus V'yashlam Chenuk Oilum Abba. And again, I'm pointing out the switch from Galus to Oilum Abba here, which Rashi did in the Mishnah. Rashi's doing it in the Gemara. The Ram learns it's one and the same. Those who don't come back and don't have a chelik l'olam haba. Rashi seems to learn either that it's going in olam haba and going back means olam haba, or olam haba means going back. But Rashi seems to equate the two of one of the two meanings. Whereas the Ram seems to say it's one and the same. Those who go, those who have come back to Eretz Yisrael will have olam haba. Those who don't come back to Eretz Yisrael won't have olam haba. And Rashi seems to have two pshatim. Either it's going on returning, or and that's what olam haba means. Or it's going in Olam Haba, and that's what returning means. Now again, I pointed out yesterday that in the sequence of the Mishnahs, we've been talking Olam Haba. We have not been talking about going back from Golos. However, because in the next Mishnah, it also talks about Olam Haba. In the previous Mishnahs, we've been spending the whole Perek in Olam Haba. And here, all of a sudden, this is inserted. Which would, again, I don't pick sides in Mishnah, which would read better if Lagzer meant Olam Haba. However, Rashi does bring two Pshatim, and again, I'm at loss. Yes. Yeah, the Mishnah said that earlier.
But the other people of the generation did.
At the Machlokes. We had a Machlokes on that too, which is I didn't understand it yesterday. We talked about it yesterday. I didn't understand it then. I still don't understand it now. But Rabbi Kiva held it. They don't go to Olam Haba. And Rabbi Yehuda says they did. Rabbi Yehuda Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, which means to say that the assumption now is that they did get Olam Haba.
Does Rabbi Kiva hold it that
again, I read Rabbi Kiva the way you read Rabbi Kiva, and he says that they won't get to Olam Haba. They didn't do tshuva, right? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't say that they did do tshuva. I don't know. Yes?
What's the tshuva business?
I know. I get it. I said yesterday, I'll say it again today. I don't understand Rabbi Kiva who says they don't have a go to Olam Haba.
The tshuva we're talking about is in this world, right?
What he's asking Shemin is that if they did tshuva, why shouldn't they get a chelik in Olam Haba? That's his question.
Is he saying a fact? Or
he's asking a question.
To Shimon?
Yes.
No, I'm not talking to Mishnah. I'm not asking Shimon. He didn't say the one half. The thing is,
again, I'm trying to figure out what you're trying to say.
I'm trying to say, what is Shimon's? I read something this from Shimon.
Yes, I understand.
This from Shimon saying, don't think that you don't get along. Everyone has a chance for tshuva, right? That's what he's saying.
The Mekiva said they're not getting Olam Haba. Fact. End of story. When they were thrown away, they were thrown out.
Right.
And the Shimon is saying they were not thrown out. They were thrown out like everybody else. That Rachman Ol Tzan gets thrown out, they can still come back in. That's what it seems to be. Machlokes. The Bekiva says they had no chance of getting Olam Haba. It's gone. Over. Done with. That's what he says. I can't.
Right. So being thrown out. To be thrown out means. What does being thrown out mean?
Thrown out.
I don't mean that. We're talking about the destruction now, right?
Yes.
So being thrown out means going into Galus in itself is not enough.
Again, I can't argue with Rabbi Kiva. This is the problem we've been going through the last 3 days. You want me to pick sides and tunnel him. I don't do that. Rabbi Kiva says what he says. I don't understand that. I agree with you. I can't change him. It's not my shtickle tyra that you ask a question that I can change. I'm reading Rabbi Kiva. I don't understand them. Honestly, I don't understand them. I don't understand why, according to Rabbi Kiva, if they would do tshuva, they're no longer accepted. I don't understand it. Or is Rabbi Kiva saying they didn't do tshuva, therefore they were never accepted? And he's not talking about the descendants. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is talking about the descendants. They seem to be talking about the same people. And Rabbi Kiva seems to say they're out. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't know. Yes.
Well, this one should make what I said yesterday look like a pale fire. Did Margaret and see anyone who talks about this as referring to the locus of the tshuva? And my
point
may be as to whether or not one can do tshuva after one dies.
I didn't see anybody talk about it.
I can give us a report.
Again, I'm very well aware, but that's not the point. You asked me a question. I answered. I didn't see anybody talking about it.
Maybe Rabbi Kiva meant because the Vachoycha Machte Emas Chitun Lashi Shuvah.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Kiva says they never.
It doesn't say. I can't say, but I don't know.
That's the Gemara.
It doesn't seem that way. It seems to be a Machoycha. Seems to be a Machoycha. Again, a lot of people talk about it. After reading everything, I wasn't any clearer. And that's, I said that yesterday, that this week is going to be a week that if anybody can be clear at the end of the week, it's going to be an ace, because I walked away through the whole tomorrow.
Well, different than the same problem.
Well, he didn't have a problem. He understood Rebbe Kiva. He disagreed with Rebbe Kiva. That's different than me, a lot different than me, who doesn't understand Rebbe Kiva. Rabbi says they will come back. That's the 10 Shvatim. Everybody's coming back. That's what Rabbi says. They're all coming back. Nobody's lost. Nobody's permanently disenfranchised. Rashi. That is the Lashon at the Sefta. Well, the Shainus Achayrim, that's what it's supposed to be, not V'loy Shemati. They changed it. It's supposed to be V'lamet Aleph. Well, the Shainus Achayrim Shemati, I heard other understandings. I heard other understandings, but Rashi doesn't bring them. He brings it to Sefta, that Oydim Beretz Ashur, the Ten Shvatim, and the Dachim Beretz Mitzrayim, and the Dara Midbar. They're all coming back, and they all have a chelik in the Olam Haba. Amar Rabba Babachon, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Shavka, Rabbi Kiva, L'chassidusei. Rabbi Kiva has abandoned his generosity. Shenema, because the Pasuk seems to say clearly, just like Rabbi Yechon said that before the Mishnah, about the Dara Midbar, he seems to have a Pasuk that says it about the Aseres HaShvatim, so he doesn't understand why Rabbi Kiva didn't learn it his way. Shenemar, Halach Mekarasas Advarim Eilu Tzufayna. Go read these things into the north. Vamarta, and you should say, Shuba Meshuba Yisrael. Come back, the returnings. How does he translate that?
The wayward Israel. The wayward Israel.
The wayward of Eretz Yisrael. Nom Hashem. And I will not... And I will not make fall panah b'chem. I will not make my anger at you. Ki chasid ani, num Hashem, I am righteous, I am pious. My etzer le'olam, I will not bear a grudge forever. So it seems to say that everybody is coming back. All waywards, including the Aseres HaShvatim, Rashi, Shuvah Meshuvah, Shekol Yisroh, Asidim L'Achzor. Fine. This is the second time, This is the second time that Rabbi Yochanan comments on Tanoim, which he rarely does, and says he just doesn't understand Rabbi Kiva why he darshened his way when there seems to be a Mefarish Pasuk that indicates the other way. Again, he doesn't explain Rabbi Kiva, but the Mefarishim take that as meaning as Rabbi Yochanan is paskening that he understands the other Shita better and that's the way he holds. Yes?
Just a fancy observation, but one might note that sort of the standard nostrum is that...
Who?
The nostrum, the standard silliness. It's snake oil. Is that Beis Shammai is more severe, and nobody seems to comment that Rabbi Eliezer has abandoned his usual strictness.
Right. Okay. I have nothing to say.
That's just an observation.
Yeah. I did notice that Rabbi Eliezer was from Beis Shammai is on one side, and Rabbi Kiva was from Beis Hillel was on the other side. I did notice that. Yeah.
It's even more unusual that Rabbi Yochanan paskens, according to Beis Shammai.
Well, it's not Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. It's a member of Beis Shammai, member of Beis Hillel, which is different. That's they're not arguing under the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel banner.
And that's how I explained it to myself. Also.
Yes.
What bothers me to no end is you have people like Nebuchadnezzar, you have people like Esav, you have people like... And then you have the Sotah Shvatim, which, let's just say that the Avodah Zarah, the Yitzhahara got to them. But they did so many incredible things in their life. So you can combine those two, that they're the same place where Nebuchadnezzar and Esav and Hitler, you know, I mean...
Trust me, they're not there. I can't answer to you. If you take the second shot in Rashi, it's only talking about the generation that went into exile, not their children and descendants.
Even that generation.
I mean, I had a harder time with Dara Midbar. Not that I have anything against the Aseres HaShvatim, but I had a harder time with Dara Midbar than I have with Aseres HaShvatim. What can I tell you? Again, it's my emotions with the Dara Midbar. I am a total loss to explain it. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. What am I supposed to say? I feel, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say I don't understand Rabbi Akiva. He understood Rabbi Akiva, he just said I don't know why he's doing this. But I'm a total loss to understand it. I said it at the beginning of the week. I mean, it's going from here. It's not going to get much better. There's going to be things the Gemara is going to say that I still don't understand either. And they're going a little later than I say. You know, we're moving. It's hard for me to answer the question. I don't know. Why do I have a hard time with the Dara Midbar? The Dara Day, the ones that accepted the Torah. They lived on Mon, they lived on Slav, and they're not going to Elam Haba?
Because it was supposed to be in such a
match. It's like, I mean, you know, the Torah spends three of the five Chumashim discussing the Dara Midbar. Three of five eternal Torah is about that generation. I know it's so difficult. I mean, yes, you know, who am I to pick sides in Tanoim? Rabbi Yochanan did. I have no right to pick sides in Tanoim. I don't know. I'm just saying I have a difficult time.
Maybe because of a sort of
I can say that too, but it's still very. Again, I have a trouble understanding. I know what you're trying to say. I know that. But the Dara Midbar, it's still the Dara Midbar. We still stood at Har Sinai physically. We were all at Har Sinai. They were there physically.
On the other hand, at least twice during those four Chumashim, the Rebbeinu Shalom makes an offer not
yes.
to destroy them, but to annihilate them.
Right.
You know, completely.
That is true.
The other thing I was just thinking of, that branch of what Avram said, it's interesting, the call we generally learn out is the Rambam, that, you know, every single thing that one does right, one receives total reward for, and the opposite also being true, which would imply that the Dara Midbar, according to the Rambam, must receive reward for those things that they did. However, there's no Olam Haskar, so exactly how are they going to?
I have no idea. Something in my advice. My Chassidus say, where did Rabbi Akiva display this generosity? Again, where did he darshan it in a generous form? That Rabbi Yochanan is saying he left his generosity. The Tanya, Ketana b'nei Rishe Yisrael ein bo en leilam haba. The young, the sons, Ketanim. Now I want to say something here. It's going to be negaya later in the week as well. And that is, in the Torah's view, it's frightening, but in the Torah's view, one's young children under bar and bas mitzvah are considered possessions of the parents. They're not considered as separate individuals in many, many, many different ways. One of the ways is, Rachmana Litzvan, is that children who suffer or get punished under Bar Bat Mitzvah, since they are not obligated in any mitzvahs, are suffering possibly, and I'll add the word possibly and I'll explain that in a minute, because of the averis of their parents. And it's a punishment to the parents that they are being treated as possessions of the parents. The Magen Avraham, in one of his two pshatim in the bracha Baruch Shepatrani Ma'incho Shoseh, that we say in Bar Mitzvah, which everyone thinks to say, oh, thank God, I'm not going to be punished for my kids' averis. The Magen Avraham in his first pshat says that's not what it means. What it means is, thank God that my children won't suffer from my averis. That's what it means. Thank God that I am no longer responsible for another human being suffering. That's how the Magen Avraham interpreted the first pshat. The second pshat, he says, thank God I'm not responsible to educate him anymore. He's responsible for himself. But the first shot, Rav Magen Avraham says, is a thank you that the person won't suffer for me, not that I won't suffer for him. Now, that's the Torah view of Ketanim. So we have, it's going to be Negei later on, it's Negei here, and that is, you have one has Rishoyim that don't make it to Olam Haba. Now, who they are, we'll look at Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara describes the Madrega of Rishoyim, that lose Olam Haba, or go into Olam Haba for a year, some go longer than a year, some go shorter than a year, all different kinds of variables that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah discusses about Rishoyim. But there are Rishoyim that don't have a Chelik Olam Haba. And those are Rishoyim that are Paishim and Margim, whatever the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah describes them, there's a whole list of people that don't make it Olam Haba. Obviously one has to work at it, and there's a list over there, but it's not, whatever it is, what happens to their young children? That's the question. They're young children who don't have an identity of their own. They died young. They did not die over by mitzvah. They died young. What happens to their children? Are they considered extensions of father who's not making it to Olam Haba? Or are they on their own? Once they die, they're on their own, and therefore they had nothing wrong. It's not, you know, what are you doing to them? Therefore they do get Olam Haba. That's the question that this is going to be discussing. So Dr. Mekiva, Dr. Gemara, Tanya. This is Rabbi Gamliel speaking. The young children of Rishayim who get killed, the kids got killed for whatever reason, since they are possessions of the Rasha, who's not making it to Olam Haba, therefore they are considered extensions of him till they become adults, and therefore they don't get Olam Haba. Shenamar, Shehina Yehim Ba Be'ayim Chataner, the day will come flaming like an oven. All people who are dubemezit, chaloyse risha, all those who did wickedness, kash will be turned into straw. The lot isem hayayim haba, and that day will flame, will burn them. Amar Hashem tzvakos, asher liyadzav lahem shayrish v'anav. They will be left without a root or a branch. Shayrish v'ayla mazeh, v'anav v'ayla maba. Roots and branches are children. At least the branches are divrei Rabbi Gamliel. Hashem guards those who are foolish. In the cities of the sea, a yinuka is called a pasya, meaning not capable of doing anything on his own, not responsible to do anything on his own, and therefore there's no reason in the world that they should lose their Olam Haba. That's Rabbi Akiva. This is his chassidus today. He's being very generous. He's treating the young children not as extensions of their parents once they're in Olam Haba, but as separate individuals. As someone would have him say, every person has two parents, his physical parents and the rabbinic Shlalom. So the question is, who does he identify posthumously? Is he identified with his physical parents, or is he identified with the rabbinic Shlalom because the kid didn't do anything wrong on his own? The question is, how much of an extension of his parents is he? In this world, they are. In the next world, it's a machloit. And this was the chassidusei, the Rabbi Akiva. This is where Rabbi Akiva displayed his generosity, and he gave all these young children Olam Haba through his drashas. So Rabbi Yechon is saying, Rabbi Akiva was so generous in that machlokes, seems to be harsh in this machlokes. He abandoned his generosity. Now, as Avi pointed out yesterday, it's not that he makes up his mind based on his mood of the morning. It's obviously the way he darshens the psukim. Rabbi Yechon is just saying, seemingly so generous in one way and not so generous in the other. What?
Psaim
are fools, usually. But it means people that are not capable of making up their own decisions.
What happens to children between 13 and 20?
They're already responsible.
And just on the side, the children of Yaakov, when he met Esau, were they under 13?
Mm-hmm. Some were, some weren't.
Reuben was 12, supposedly.
At Shechem, Levi was 13.
But with Esau,
I don't know. Dr. Harris is.
That
could be. I mean, again, I know that Levi was 13 at Shechem. How long there was between Esav and Shechem, I don't know. Right, this is where we learn now by mitzvah according to one shita, what's the source of 13? Some say it's Halach L'maish M'Sinai, and some say that the title refers to Shimon and Levi as Ish, and Levi was 13. Much younger. No, definitely not. She was born right there with Yosef. It would make her at least 6 to 7 years old.
Above the age of three.
I'm sorry, I thought you said about the age of three. No. No, above the age of three. She's about seven. Same age as Yosef. They were born concurrently, meaning the same time, basically. Right? That was Leah's Tila. Rashi, Ktana B'nai, Rishi Yisrael, Atzmam, Shita De'en, Lemachel, Lechel, Mabah. Because I mean, in the Pesach Basa, the Ksumas Reform Bal Yukumu Reform means the weak ones will not get up. Misham Rap Asim of Divrei Taira. And again, to what extent? Right, all the Achrayim are busy here. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says only certain people don't have a Chelik Olam Haba. Rashi makes it sound that a lot more people don't have a Chelik Olam Haba. That's why I was very careful when I explained it. That see Gemara Rosh Hashanah to figure out what degree of riches is necessary to qualify for Olam Chelik Olam Haba. avobanim shalem ktanim v'loy chatu pligabu. That's the argument about the banim that didn't sin. That's the Gemara v'ayter v'aymer. Gudu ulana, this is part of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Cut down the tree, the chablohi, and ruin it. The chabluhi. I'll get that. That's fine. We'll get that later. The chabluhi.
Destroy it.
But leave the roots in the ground, which means that the roots stay intact. The kids are left alone. Kashi. These are the young children. The kids will die young. They didn't sin. The kids do have a Elam Abba. Velamani Mikayim Layazil Lam Shavishvano. Back to the Gemara. So what does Rabbi Kiva do with the pasuk that says there will not be a root or a branch? Rashi learns all mitzvahs will be paid off in this world, whether they're light mitzvahs or heavy mitzvahs. They will be rewarded in this world, but no, they will not get any Elam Abba. Now the kids don't have that many mitzvahs of their own, but it seems that whatever the Rishon did will be rewarded in this world. They will not leave any kids in Eilam Abba. Nothing will be there for them permanently. Everything will be taken care of in this transient world. Rashi, lemitzvah, l'shiyar, mitzvah, lemitzvah, chamurah, v'lemitzvah, kala. Hakol yei maver, mishalim, scharam, l'alter, right away, k'day l'tardim in Eilam, to make them lose their Eilam Abba. Now, the other mafarshim are bothered with the word shiyari mitzvah. That makes it sound like it's a less of a mitzvah. Now, mitzvah kalas are big mitzvahs. Like we're, so they want to learn that means mitzvahs and the accessories of mitzvahs. Meaning there's a mitzvah and then there's the preparation and the what goes into it. So they want to learn that everything will be taken care of in this world. The mitzvahs, everything else that went into it, all be paid back in this world. The v'racha shayrish du neshama v'anav z'aguf. Shayrish is saying, is referring to the soul. They won't have any soul left, they won't have any body left. Avoktani b'nei rishay v'kachavim. However, Rishon of Goyim, remember we had an argument whether Goyim get Gehenim or not. But that's only regular Goyim. But Rishon of Goyim don't get Elam Abba. They don't get Elam Abba. Their children, for sure, Divrei HaKal Ein Bo Elam Abba. Their children, for sure, will not get Elam Abba. Meaning even Rabbi Akiva, who says that Tani Yisrael are treated separately from their parents, Tani B'nei Rishay of the Gehenim, not regular Goyim, that's what my point is. We'll get Elam Abba. Rashi, they take out the words from Gamliel Nafkalei, and they just say from the words, Mivatayvit Kozocher Lomai, all males, all Zecher Lomai, all memories will be removed from him. Rashi, Zunashama Shemamedes Agub Kisharish Shemamari Meilon, like a root that keeps the tree going. Avakatabene Rishay the Kuchavim, Dafkikama Rishay. The Gemara is saying Rishay, the Ilukhasida at the Kuchavim, the righteous Goyim, Pligiba. And it says that they themselves come. Right? Right? There was a mandam that said, no goyim get a chelik on my ball. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, but he never b'chol goyim. Those who don't forget Hashem will have a chelik on my ball, and therefore, this machloikus, so therefore Rashi says, we're not getting involved with that machloikus. Like this, is everybody. The Shirish Vanov Nibayla Market Islay. Shirish Vanov was either going on the kids of Rishay Yisrael, or it was going on that they're paid back for all the mitzvahs. So therefore, Vatayvik Kosecha Loma is going on the Goyim, that when they're Rishon, their kids don't have any Chelik in Elam Abba. I just want to mention, I saw an interesting shot, why are those who keep the Sheva Mitzvahs called Chassidei Umas HaElam? By Jews, those who keep the regular requirements are not called Chassidim, they're called Tzadikim, righteous people. Chassidim are people that go beyond the letter of the law. By Goyim, they're either Rishon or Chassidim. There's no middle ground. Either they're known as Rishon, or they're known as Chassidei Umas HaElam. The pious Umas Olam. I saw one of the Achrayim ask, there should be, by Jews, there are three stages, Rishayim, Tzadikim, Chassidim, who go beyond the letter of the law. Why by Goyim is it go from one extreme to the other? Why can't there be Rishay Yom Asylum and Tzadikei Yom Asylum? Why do we refer to them Chassidei Yom Asylum? So he says, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, we will get to him at Shem in a few weeks, and the Gemara says in Baba Kama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu like said to the Goyim, you don't keep Seven Mitzvahs. He took it away from them. What that means exactly, we'll see when we get there. But whatever it is, when they keep Seven Mitzvahs in a certain sense, they're going beyond their requirements. There is no Tzadikei Yom Asylum, because the Gemara says, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that the Goyim weren't keeping them, he made them like non-commanded. He says, you do it, you get Tchar, like you're not commanded and do it. So every guy that keeps Seven Mitzvahs in Einayach is, in a certain sense, going beyond the letter of the law. So therefore, it goes from one extreme to the other extreme. There is no middle ground, because the Rabbi Nishlam said that no Goyim were keeping it, so he treats it like an Eina Mitzvah V'Aisa. Whatever that means, we'll see when we get there, but that's what I saw one of the Achrayim say. So that's the Gemara V'Aisa Itmar. Now this next Gemara seemingly has no practical application, but this is where Ramesha paskins like one of these opinions. A regular child, Nachman Lutfan, who dies very young. At what age, at what stage in development can we say that they get a chelik in Olam Haba already? Now, I want to give a hagdama before I start. This hagdama really pertains to the Gemara before as well. I said before that children are punished for the sins of their parents. That is true. That is a fact. But there's another fact that comes into play as well. And how the two mesh, I'm not 100% sure. There must be some kind of meshing, but I'm not 100% sure to what degree. And that is, we live in a world that many of the neshamas are gugulim. They're coming back down to correct something that didn't work out last time around. And therefore, young children can die, and has nothing to do with anything done in this time around, but it might be correcting a previous generation for both parents and children. So therefore, that has to be taken into context. When we talk today, we're dealing with a different set of circumstances. So when we learn the next Gemara about young children dying when they do get Olam Haba, when they're not getting Olam Haba, we're dealing with young children who are not Gugulim. And therefore, once they are Gugulim, they are young children but not young children at the same time. So I want to make that clear as we start this Gemara. So its practical application is limited to a certain sense because of the fact that we do have Gugulim today, that much more so than they had in the time of the Gemara, because as the later generations go, more are, I hate to use the word, but retreads, meaning more of the Shamas are down here for a number of times.
Says that, right?
What?
Someone government says if Hashem, a kid would die, and he could be a Gilgul. No one says that. No,
the Gemara doesn't discuss the word Gilgul. It doesn't. I can't help it. It doesn't. Itmar we learn. Rabbeinu Amar Mishosh. But by the way, what I said now, the Chafetz Chaim said, not me. Chafetz Chaim said that young children dying today, one has to assume that Gilgul is a big role in it. Okay, yes.
Spoke about this as well.
Fine. That's my Itmar. Cotton, Mamasai, Baal, when does the cotton come to Eilam Haba? Reb Chiya v'Reb Shimon v'Rebbe. Charam v'Mishosh in Eilam. Once a child is born, he already has enough. He's developed enough to the point that his neshama will go to Eilam Haba. V'Charam v'Mishosh is Sipir, from when he starts talking. Talking, some want to learn because when he starts talking, he says his first word of Torah. And that gets him Eilam Haba, because the Gemara says when you start talking, one teaches his son Torah Tziva Lano Maisha. Others say that that's the development of the child that is considered complete and therefore gets Olam Haba. Manda Amar Mishosh Shneilud Shneimer Yevoyu VeYagidu Tzitkasai. They will come and speak his righteousness. Li'am Noilat Kiyasa, to the nation that was born, they will say the miracles that Hashem did. So we see that Li'am Noilad, once they're born, they're already considered they're going to be there. Manda Amar Mishosh Shesiper Tziv. Zera Yavdenu, the children, can I help here?
Speaking seed.
Speaking seed? Zera Yavdenu. The children will serve Hashem. Yisupar Lashem Ladoyer. Pashup Shad is, the miracles will be said over about Hashem for generations. We're darshaning it that once they speak, they are serving Hashem enough to last for generations. So it's the act of speaking that qualifies them for making Olam Haba. Rashi, Zera Yavdenu Yisupar Lashem Ladar. Zera HaMesupar Yavdenu Lashem Ladar Vadar. The children that speak will serve Hashem for generations. Sheyach Zuloi V'yichya. Ravina Amar. Give me 1 minute. Hitma. Ravina Amar Mishosh Nizra. Once they are conceived. The Siv, Zera Yavdenu. They are already serving Hashem once they're conceived. That's enough to make it into Olam Haba. The Nachman by Yitzchak Amar Mishosh Nimo, from when they received Brit Mila, Shenema Dechsev Ani Ani VeGavei Aminayar, I am poor and dying in youth. Nesasi Eimecha Afuna, I carrying your fear on me, which is a lashon of Brit Mila, which we keep from the fear of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Afuna means it rolls upon me. Eimecha Afuna, your fear rolls upon me. Now there are four opinions here. There's going to be a fifth in a minute, but let's just take these four. Conception, birth, Mila, speaking. Rabbi Shah writes in a tshuva written to someone who lost a brother who has died as a miscarriage. And Rabbi Shah writes in a tshuva to him that he will definitely get to meet his brother in Olam Haba and Mitzchias HaMeisim, because since Ravina is the last Amira, we pass last in generations, therefore we paskin like Ravina. This is what Ravisha writes in the tshuva, and therefore for sure we'll have a chelik in Olam Haba, and therefore don't worry about your brother, he'll be fine, he'll be there, he'll meet you. That's what Ravisha writes in the tshuva, in a letter that he wrote to a bachur, and he said, you just worry about your learning and your avedis Hashem, your brother will be fine, you'll meet him. That's what Ravisha writes. Interesting thing he says, we paskin like Ravina because he's basroi, he's the last one, and therefore we paskin like him. That's what Ravisha writes in the tshuva. I was also told by someone recently that he said that the Mukubalim say, and I don't know anything about it, that miscarriages can be a tikkun of a Gilgal. That sometimes miscarriages happen and the neshama gets its tikkun through that. So he was telling me that if Chas V'Shalom, somebody's wife has a miscarriage, I can tell them that they accomplished something and the neshama got a tikkun through this happening. That's what he told me. There was a reliable Pesach that told it to me, and he said that that's what the farm say. Again, like, he didn't give me any names as farm. Yes.
I mean, a woman, yeah, before 40 days.
What time did I ask for 40 days?
Yeah, but not here, not Ravina.
He's saying even conception. That's exactly what he said.
Right. But how are you going to tell me the woman miscarries at day 39? She's still. I mean, the next one is still Petarachim. I mean, there's no.
I heard the question's there, but I just have a Gemara in front of me.
I mean, did Rav see anyone?
No, I didn't, but I didn't look for it. I didn't look for it. Maybe it means 40 days. I'd have to look at it.
I mean,
even though Rashi doesn't seem to say that.
If one is going to say the Kabbalah thing, it says that that's 40 days.
Again. Yeah, that's the Kabbalah thing was said after 40 days, that's for sure.
Right,
but
absolutely.
This, he says, Mishra Shanizah and Ramesha Paskin sit in the tshuva. I'm just telling you.
Yes, but that's the 40 days.
Yes.
When the fetus is learning Torah while, you know, during that process, is it interactive with the mosque or not?
What do you mean by interactive?
Meaning that if the mosque is teaching the Torah, is it talking back to it?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know. Yes.
Rabbi, I'm realizing with the discussion, I don't understand the basis of the mosque. What if a child from the Shama does not have old enough?
Right. So obviously that child would have to come back down again under some circumstances. Gemara doesn't discuss this.
Come back down would imply, so to speak, to go back up. And if you don't go to Olam Haba, what are we talking about here? Is there a section called Olam Haba and then there's the source? We understand that if someone needs Gehenna first, then the soul will be purified there.
Right, this child's not going to Gehenna, it didn't do anything wrong.
So, where is the child from the Shema going? Not
alone. I always, again, I don't know for sure. My speculation was always comes back again to this world in a different form, in a different body, to achieve what it has to achieve.
What's the home base?
The Tachas Kisei HaKavod, whatever that is, wherever Neshamas come from to begin with.
And this is not Olam
HaBa. No, because it's not earned. It's not earned, so to speak. It's a different kind of thing. See, we're in this world to earn our keep. We could have been put in Olam HaBa straight. But the Rabbani Shalom put us into this world so we could earn our keep. At what point is the child considered, quote unquote, has earned something? I'm not 100% sure how, but has earned something. That's the question at hand. At what point does their existence in this world qualify as having earned Olam HaBa?
I just always picture Olam HaBa as being close to the source.
It is, but it's close to the source in an earned way, as opposed to one who didn't do anything is in a close to the source in an unearned way. Rashi.
In the harmless sign, if the child is born, stillborn,
it has a bris mila, based on this Gemara, by the way. Based on this Gemara, yes.
Even a bris mila.
Based on this Gemara.
Anything short of that, some miscarriage of Rachmanos Lan, there is nothing that
is important. Right.
According to Ramesha, there should be a certain amount of kavod given to a miscarriage. It isn't.
Okay. First of all, the burial of a child under 30 days is also not a halacha of kavura. Some do it, but it's in halacha doesn't really need kavura either. Even though had bris mila, we do bris mila because of this man Yamar that says that bris mila gets it into all the doors. It's brought down in Sfarim. Rabbi Nadav Yehuda even asked whether the body should be exhumed to do bris mila. There's a Nadav Yehuda, but the halacha of kavura really starts at 30 days. That which we bury in the Nefalim before 30 days, more of a minig than a halacha.
The Nefal.
The Nefal, right. So we give it any amount of thing. We don't have a minion go out to the kavura. The truth, Rabbi Heinemann told me when I once went with him to do a Nefal, he told me that really you could have a guy do the covering, but we do it, he said, this is the minig in this place that we do it, but really in halacha, hukos kavura, start at 30 days, not beforehand. So your question really is...
In other words, according to Revolution, there's a lot more covet to be shown even to a miscarriage.
How does one show covet to a miscarriage? If there's anything there to bury, we bury it.
In the hospital to a miscarriage?
What?
In the hospital, what they do to a miscarriage is that it basically gets thrown out.
Well, halakhically, one should try to save whatever they can and bury it. That's what we advise people. Depends on the state at the, you know, what point in the pregnancy there is a miscarriage, whether there is anything there to...
Halakha gets literature prior to a miscarriage is buried?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes.
Prior to that?
Whatever is there is buried. Unfortunately, in many cases of miscarriage, very little is there. Not enough to bury. Depending on what stage of pregnancy the miscarriage happens.
In most cases, then, there's not until the most miscarriages happen very early,
right.
And they don't even know that it happened until after.
Well, that's very, very early. We're talking about a little bit later than that. Rashi. B'shash Nizra. When it was accepted in the mother's womb, even if his mother miscarried him and he was totally nimcha, means liquefied. The dead bodies will get up. My death is chashuv. It's called Gviya. V'roi loymer alive. Ayigva v'yosev. It's called righteous. K'may v'shazoy chani lasad lavai. The child who dies at a miscarriage after Mila is already zaychad lasad lavai. I'm sorry, after Mila. K'tzadikim shenemer ben Gviya. O'may Messiah, at what point is the baby considered a tzadik according to this man diyamar? V'shoshani noise emecha opaktacha afuna. When I carry your fear and your fear is rolling on me, Miss Galgela Shekuna alive. like it occupies me. We keep it because of the fear of Hashem. The time a child is zayich to El Mabo is when he says the word Amen. Shenem Apischu Shaarim, open up gates. The Yavoi Goyt Tzadik, let the nation of righteous come. Shomer Amunim, the one who watches their beliefs. Al Tikku Shomer Amunim El Shomer Amen. Now the Rishonim bring a raya from this whole Gemara from Mila, only from the last two Mandiyamim really, that Judaism does not reward lofty ideals and thoughts as much as it rewards practical facts on the ground. The kid that's saying Amen doesn't really know what Amen means. The kid that's saying his first word in Torah doesn't understand what the first word of Torah means. The kid that has Bris Milah has no clue he has Bris Milah. But Judaism rewards facts on the ground, physical facts on the ground, more than it rewards spiritual lofty thoughts not accompanied by facts on the ground. And the Rishonim used this Gemara. Because if everything were dependent on physical, lofty thoughts, then reward should not be given till a person's mature enough to have the spiritual, lofty thoughts. And since reward is given as soon as the child can do something physical, according to some opinions, and the physical thing can be saying his first word of Torah, or having a bris milah done to him, or saying the word Amen, obviously what earns people rewards is how they use their physical bodies. Much more so, as not belittling the other side, but more so than somebody engaged in lofty thoughts without accompanying it with physical action. The Sefer Ikrim says it, the Sefer a lot of Rishonim, early philosophers, are very big into that. Yiddishkeit is a very technical religion. Rabbi Weinberg told us that the Goyim referred to Judaism as a kitchen religion, because they mock us that we're busy with the spoons being kosher and being trafed, whether it touch this or touch that. He said, but Yiddish guy believes that we connect to the Rabbanu Shlom through those spoons. It's by keeping every technical thing of his mitzvahs, that's how we connect our physical existence to the Rabbanu Shlom. Not through, idealistic, lofty thoughts, but the main connection comes about through our physicality. We are physical, and we connect through our physicality. He said, the guy mock us by calling us a kitchen religion. We're too occupied with minor things that have no... That spoon is a way of connecting to the Rabbanu Shlalom. Whether it touched the flesh, klimishin, klisheni, all the halachas, that's the way we connect to the Rabbanu Shlalom. So they were trying to bring a raya from this Gemara. They use this Gemara as a raya.
What's the Yomar
Amen
or
is it Sipur? It seems that Sipur is earlier than Amen. Because the cow can talk without having answered Amen anytime. I said, it's a machlaik, is what your super means. Either it's talking, period, or saying a word of Torah. But either way, it's before Amen.
And that's before Amen.
Well, you can say Torah, you can teach your kid Torah. He says Torah. And Amen, he has when he hears a bracha. He's not some saying Amen, he has to say Amen to something.
And is this the last, does this make this a fifth category, the last one?
This is the last one, correct.
It means that, you said a minute ago that,
Elisha Paskins on Gravina.
Based on the last one.
Not, Basroi, not in the order of the Gemara, in the order of generations. Gravina was the last Amayru and the last Amaroyim. So he paskins like Ravina because Ravina knew the previous opinions and disagreed, so that means he obviously paskins like Ravina. So I said, it's interesting that Ramesh gives a psak to this. We would say, who are we, Ramesh says that he paskins this. All I said is Ramesh writes, Elefishitas Ravina Shahalokha Kamaisa Shivas Roy. Shubat's Roy. The Ramesh writes in his letter. He didn't write Stamas, I think.
Of course, that point.
Printed in his Chuvas. He printed it in his Chuvas. This is still but when he was alive.
But what I'm saying is that this is. In other scriptures, Machlokes, you don't say the last person to do the first three Shitas.
Oh, we do it many times, sure.
Really?
Yeah, there's a cloud called Halacha Kabat's Roy. The question is, at what point does it kick in? Usually, when there's Machlokes, Tanoim, and Amaroy, we don't say that. But in Ramesh is using it here. There's a big shaila to be shaynim. At what point do we say this rule of halacha kabasroi? Yeah, we do that a lot of times. Yes.
Was grieving over a miscarriage of a brother.
This boy was grieving. It seems he was an only child, and he had adopted brothers and adopted siblings, and And I guess it doesn't say what he asked for Moshe. It doesn't say his shayla. But from the reading the tshuva, the person was trying to figure out whether his siblings in Olam Haba will be his adopted siblings. Will he have siblings? Will he ever see his siblings when Mashiach comes? Are there siblings? Seems it was bothering him very much. And Rabbi Moshe wrote him that the adopted siblings are not his siblings, and as far as Olam Haba is concerned. But the ones of miscarriages will be his siblings. They will be there. They will have Tchias HaMeisim. He'll get to know them, and he'll find them in good shape. And he should just worry about his own learning and steiging. And Rav Moshe gives him a very nice brach at the end. This is the tshuva in, I have to remember where it is. Chelo Gimel Yoredei, I believe, Kuf Lamed Ches. That's the answer. Chelo Gimel Yoredei, Simi Kuf Lamed Ches. It's a two-paragraph tshuva, but it's a very, you know, very nice letter from Rav Moshe. And he printed it as a tshuva. I mean, obviously, he wanted people to learn from that.